I'm having a very tough time at home. My father doesn't understand me, and Phyllis hates me.
Sounds tough, all right.
That's why I have to lie sometimes. You won't tell on me, will you?
I have to think it over.
Nino's not what my father says at all. He's just had bad luck. Then he lost his job for talking back. So hard-headed.
Comes expensive, doesn't it?
Guess my father thinks nobody's good enough for his daughter.
And that's from the movie Double Indemnity. And when is it okay to lie? Is it ever okay to lie? What does it do to you if you lie in a situation where you know you're trying to get something for nothing? You're trying to cut corners. You're trying to get a job that you know you wouldn't get if you didn't have some credentials. Or you're lying to someone you're dating, telling them you're not the age that you actually are. You present yourself as younger, or you put a picture of yourself on the internet for dating, and it's not quite up to date. It might be 10, 15 years old. What does it do to you when you do things like that? Are there situations in which it's proper to lie? Is there such a thing as a moral lie? In the example that I heard that convinced me that you don't have a blank check to lie because, and you don't, you do want a policy, a principle of integrity for yourself. However, there are situations where somebody is trying to use your honesty as a weapon against you. And a really clear situation would be a child molester coming to your door. You have children inside, and the child molester says, "Do you have any children inside?" What do you answer? "Yes, I have 3 children in their beds." Or do you say to them, "No, we're a childless couple and we don't have any children here," knowing that you have 3 children? In that case, you can decide. Is it moral to lie? If you don't lie, and if you tell the truth, who are you putting at risk? So I say that there is such a thing as a moral lie, but that does not give you carte blanche to be able to lie anytime you want. It's very limited, very specific situations when somebody is using your honesty as a weapon to get something, your children in that case, that does not belong to them. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. My show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. I'm a clinical psychologist. You can pick up the phone and give me a call now. My number's toll free 1-877 Dr. Kenner. That's toll free 1-877-DRKENNER. And you can visit my website, drkenner.com. And I wrote a book on romance where we talk about how to make yourself lovable. And honesty is a big part of that. In the book I wrote with Dr. Ed Locke, and it's called The Selfish Path to Romance, How to Love with Passion and Reason, which you can also see at my website, drkenner.com, or selfishromance.com. And right now I want to turn to the phone and welcome David. David, you're looking for some ideas on how to be happier at your job?
Yes, I am. Currently, I have a job at a legal staffing firm, which has been fine for the past 2 months or so. I'm just recently out of college, and that job is good, but not what I'm looking for. I majored in Italian. I hope to become an Italian professor or Italian high school teacher. And I've just become discouraged because I feel like I'm looking almost everywhere and I can't find either a teaching position that I could have without a master's right now, or a steady tutoring position or internship that would provide like a decent amount of compensation in that area. So sometimes I feel like I'm just existing and going through the daily, grind and not performing and doing something that I love every day.
Okay, so that's difficult. If you look at it as a transition period for yourself, that you're in legal staffing right now, did I get that right?
Yeah.
You're in legal staffing, but it is only a holding spot for your eventual career. And what you love is teaching Italian, the language.
Mm-hmm.
Piacere.
Yes.
That means pleased to meet you, right? Uno, due, tre, quattro. So I wish you were around. Where are you located?
In New York City.
Oh, no, that's not going to help. I'm in Rhode Island. Although I'd have the same accent as the New Yorkers, a little bit of the Brooklyn. We cut off our R's and put them where they don't belong. But, you know, that in New York City, you have got such a huge population. Is there no need at all for an interpreter or interpretive services?
I mean, I've tried looking into translation and interpretation companies. They say a lot of it has kind of diminished because of things such as translation websites,
right,
and everything. I mean, in college, I was fortunate to have an internship at an Italian law firm in New York.
So
I got to speak Italian with the lawyers, perform administrative duties. They prepared me really to go study abroad. I got to study in Tuscany, which was great during college. But as for finding a profitable job right now, before I start a master's program, hopefully in January, it's just... It's been tough. Also, because you know I'm 22 and I feel like at jobs I am told I'm 22, and it's just a lot to handle when I'm not loving the position where I am right now. I feel like I could take criticism, constructive criticism, if I were in a work environment that I felt I would be learning from. But since I'm not in love with the job at all, it's hard to deal with those daily things.
Okay, so let me tell you first what I hear is one of your strengths. You're a go-getter. You have a specific goal that you want to be a professor or a high school teacher of Italian, and you're out there looking for jobs. You're not just sitting home passively hoping something falls in your lap or mana from heaven or something, right? And you've had experience. You know, you're so young. You're relatively young. You're energetic. You're aspiring for good things. So all of that's wonderful. So how do you find a job in New York City in your career? Would you be interested in being a tour guide for Italians? Or I don't know what you've looked at so far. You know, I'm just thinking of brainstorming.
Oh, sure. I mean, I've looked at very random types of things. I've had professors who say, you know, you never know what's going to come your way when you're first looking for jobs like this. So I had one professor who got a deal translating German for English to German for like a coal mining company in Europe. It was just strange things. So I am on the look for those types of things for Italian. It's just I can't find something right now. And, it will come since I keep trying to look. But just right now I can't find something that'll, you know, make ends meet every day.
Okay. So let me sum up what I'm hearing so far. Number one, you want to consider it a transition period. Because if you look at it at the no's, the rejections that you're getting, we don't need anybody. We're, you know, thank you for inquiring, but no thank you. If a good job search usually involves many, many no's, you know. So a good job search sounds like the following, David. No, 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 no. Each one of those being your a potential lead that you have. No, no, no. And then guess what comes at the end of that?
A yes.
A yes. When I first read that in one of the job hunting books years ago, I thought, oh, yeah. So, Ellen, when you're out there looking for getting back into grad school, which I was doing, I prepared myself to get a lot of no's because I was just looking for that one yes. So part of it is that having that knowledge that you have a marketable skill. As I said, if you were in Rhode Island, you know, I would love some tutoring. Because I have an Italian daughter-in-law.
And
oh, great. So it's a marketable skill. You're in a huge city, and it's just really using another skill, which is spreading your net wide.
Mm-hmm.
Being willing to get rejections, paper your walls with your rejections. You're just wanting to get one yes. With the legal staffing, is there anything you enjoy in it that can make your day a little more pleasant?
Sure. I mean, placing people into their dream job is pleasurable. I mean, I'm an assistant to recruiters who are ex-lawyers and have that experience, so I am learning from them.
Right.
And it is a positive experience.
Then, folks. Yeah. Okay, we're just winding down on time. Focus on the positive there. Positives there. You're also getting into a master's program in January. If you speak to the people who are in that program, you may have already done this, but try to see if there are any teaching or any related opportunities, even a temporary volunteer one in the evening that could be a foot in the door for another job. Listen, if you want to hold on during the break, I'll talk to you in a moment. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness. My number is toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner and co-author Dr. Edwin Locke.
Communication is not only verbal. Observe how your partner acts in different situations. How one acts is a form of communication, inadvertent or not, and it can reveal valuable clues to your partner's values and deepest feelings. For example, does your partner withdraw in the face of conflict? Is your partner easily angered or depressed by criticism? Does your lover get excited when you dress or undress in certain ways? Do your partner's moods change in predictable or unpredictable ways in response to people or events? Such observations set the stage for ongoing communication.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com. And you can buy The Selfish Path to Romance at amazon.com.